This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
In 2001, Vonage revolutionized home phone service, making it better. After such a colossal breakthrough, who would have objected if Vonage said, "Enjoy better, world. Vonage will be at the spa." But today, Vonage is not at the spa having its trouble area worked on, but transforming communications for your business with award-winning cloud-based solutions. See how your business can get the better it deserves. Call 1-800-5-VONAGE or go to Vonage.com. Vonage, the business of better.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Shifting concerns in the Southeast. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Kashenka. It's Wednesday, October 7. Glad you're with us. Here's what's up this hour.
The rain has stopped in parts of South Carolina, but now the deadly floodwaters will recede to the ocean, meaning overflowing rivers and creeks in a region called the Low Country.
The Washington Post says a second technology firm will provide the FBI with data preserved from Hillary Clinton's private email.
Anheuser-Busch InBev has gone public with a proposal to buy SAB Miller, meaning Bud Light and Miller Lite could be under the same roof.
And the numbers that consume us more than vehicle emissions? Miles per gallon.
The talk with the Volkswagen scandal has focused on this emissions issue. The truth is that we probably should be talking more about the gas mileage issue, because people don't really look at emissions. They do focus on gas mileage. The reality is that the sticker doesn't often match up to what we actually experience.
Market Watch reporter Charles Pazzi on why your car doesn't get the same mileage as the sticker suggests. He's here in about 20 minutes. Well, here's a phrase many in South Carolina thought they'd never hear. The rain has stopped. But it's now recovery time from the devastation caused by days of extreme rainfall and flooding connected to Hurricane Joaquin. Also, officials are warning that new evacuations could come as the huge mass of water flows toward the sea, threatening dams and displacing residents along the way. Yesterday was the first dry day in 13 days in the state capital of Columbia. The focus now, the Low Country, where rivers make their way to the sea. Governor Nikki Haley says several rivers were rising and had yet to reach their peaks.
We have FEMA people up in the air right now doing assessments, trying to see the aerial views. We've got, we will have FEMA people on the ground tomorrow doing assessments.
Another problem, water distribution. In the region around Columbia, as many as 40,000 homes lack drinking water. And Mayor Steve Benjamin said 375,000 water customers will likely have to boil their water before drinking it or cooking with it for quite some time, as he says. The power grid was starting to return to normal yesterday after nearly 30,000 customers lost electricity. Some 200 engineers out inspecting about 500 spots that remained closed yesterday, including a 75-mile stretch of Interstate 95. The death toll in South Carolina is at least 15. And here's one way to think about it. You might soon have a new neighbor or two. The Justice Department will release some 6,000 nonviolent inmates from federal prisons beginning at the end of this month as part of new sentencing guidelines for drug crimes. The U.S. Sentencing Commission decided in July of 2014 that close to 50,000 federal inmates locked up on drug charges would be eligible for reduced sentences. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
While a majority of the inmates released will be transferred to halfway houses and drug rehab centers, Fox News says that about 2,000 will be handed over to immigration officials to face possible deportation. Each case has been reviewed by a federal judge in the district in which the inmate's case was tried in order to determine whether it would be beneficial to public safety to grant the prisoner early release. By the way, the action by the Sentencing Commission is reportedly separate from an effort by President Obama to grant clemency to certain nonviolent drug offenders. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. 10 minutes after the hour. The U.S. commander in Afghanistan is taking responsibility for the sustained bombardment of the Doctors Without Borders Hospital last week in the Afghan city of Kunduz, where 22 patients and hospital staffers were killed. General John Campbell said it was the result of a, quote, U.S. decision made within the U.S. chain of command, which came in response to an Afghan call for help. He spoke during testimony to the Senate Armed Services Committee yesterday.
We had a special operations unit that was in close vicinity that was talking to the aircraft to deliver those fires.
He said the more specific, or he said there will be more and more specific details of what took place in an investigation. But unlike several previous explanations, General Campbell was direct. He said flat out, a hospital was mistakenly struck. The general said the military had received a request for air support from Afghan troops fighting to retake Kunduz from the Taliban. There are renewed questions now about the shape and scope of President Obama's approach in Afghanistan. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
You're results-driven and you're ambitious. You've established yourself professionally and now you're looking for more. Take the next step in your entrepreneurial journey with Edible Arrangements, the brand that revolutionized gifting with handcrafted fruit arrangements and gourmet chocolate-covered fruit, now also offers delicious everyday treats like smoothies, fruit salads, and parfaits. As an Edible Arrangements franchisee, you get access to an established brand with 16 years of growth, over 80% brand recognition, and 1,200 locations worldwide. You'll benefit from know-how, support, and millions of visitors to the Edible Arrangements e-commerce platform. Discover why Entrepreneur Magazine named Edible Arrangements a top franchise and among their best of the best for 2015. Start your journey to sweet success as an Edible Arrangements franchise owner. Call 1-888-727-4258 or go to edible.com. That's 1-888-727-4258 or edible.com.
Thanks for being with us. Good Wednesday morning. You may have heard Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump refer to rival Marco Rubio as a kid and a clown, even mocking him for his perspiration during the last debate. Jeb Bush, his former mentor, who also wants to be president, views Mr. Rubio as an inexperienced understudy. Yet the 44-year-old Florida senator is just where he wants to be, according to Matt Visor, national political reporter at the Boston Globe. He joins us now on the T-Mobile hotline. Matt, how so?
Rubio's kind of kept somewhat of a low profile. He's trying not to peak too early. He wants to be leading in the polls in a couple months, not right now. And so he's had kind of a low profile. He's not done the nightly TV shows. He's not kind of the Colbert show or Jimmy Fallon or any of the other shows that a lot of the other candidates are eager to get on. He's making just his fifth visit to New Hampshire since getting in the race. He's kind of keeping a low profile, but being talked about quite a bit, giving a second look by a lot of people at the moment.
All right, it's interesting. Why does he shun, say, that TV spotlight? You know, Trump, he'll either appear on it or call in by telephone to seemingly any national TV program.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost, Trump is the guy who won't turn down any interview. Rubio is the one that's playing hard to get a little bit, I think it's just for that deliberate strategy of not wanting to be in the limelight right now, kind of wanting to keep his head down, being sort of slow and steady and waiting for his right moment in the sun, which you get a sense is coming. A lot of people, a lot of political activists, people are intrigued with Rubio, with Scott Walker getting out of the race, and with Jeb Bush sort of not fully catching on, and it's kind of more establishment-minded Republicans looking for a candidate that's not Donald Trump.
We're speaking with Matt Visor, national political reporter at the Boston Globe. His piece is called Marco Rubio Seeks His Moment in GOP Contest, Just Not Too Soon. All right, so what do the experts say are his pluses and minuses as a candidate right now, Marco Rubio?
So on the upside, he's extremely charismatic. He's a very good communicator, perhaps the best speaker on the debate stage, has a compelling life story. His father was a bartender. His mother was a maid. His family immigrated from Cuba. So he has a very compelling life story. On the negative side, I think people are looking for some sort of signature achievement, and he doesn't necessarily have a signature achievement. I mean, his achievements have been winning office, winning political campaigns. He's sort of risen quite quickly. And the other thing is that it can be a plus or a minus is the fact that he has somewhat broad appeal, but he's not sort of catering to the Tea Party. He's not catering just to sort of Chamber of Commerce Republicans. He has kind of a broad swath, which critics point out, like, where's his logical base? His supporters will point out, you know, he's kind of a consensus candidate. He has an appeal to a lot of different areas of the Republican Party.
One thing, I guess, generally speaking, too, he hasn't made any real verbal gaffes on the campaign trail, right?
Yeah, he hasn't. I mean, and he's also not been, you know, put under the type of scrutiny that a lot of the other candidates have. So, I mean, that's the benefit of not being overexposed. You're not talking as much, you know, so you're not leaving yourself open to making quite as many gaffes. He hasn't had sort of one of those cringe-inducing moments, I think, that some of the other candidates have had.
All right, so what do we make, too, of the part where you say he flies commercial, he flies in coach, even sometimes hops on like the low-budget Frontier Airlines? Does that mean he's out of money, or he just likes to keep it low-key?
It's probably a little bit of both. He is trying to be very thrifty in his campaign, and that is one of the challenges for Rubio at this stage is he's been a solid fundraiser, but he's not been overwhelming.
Thanks, Matt. Matt Visor, national political reporter at the Boston Globe. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Word in the death toll from severe flooding in South and North Carolina has now risen to 17. South Carolina has had 15 weather-related deaths, 6 of them as a result of floodwater sweeping over vehicles. With many roads impassable, nurse Erin LaRoche says one pregnant woman got to Trident Medical Center by canoe.
I can honestly say in 15 years, I think that's the first patient I've ever had that came to Trident, you know, via canoe.
Authorities are warning residents that more evacuations are possible. Masses of floodwater are flowing toward the ocean, compromising dams. The deadly U.S. attack on a hospital in Afghanistan, which U.S. officials have called a mistake, leaves open the possibility that the decision to open fire exceeded the authority under which U.S. forces have operated since their combat mission ended nearly a year ago. U.S. officials have declined to discuss most circumstances of the attack in Kunduz that killed 22 civilians on Saturday. White House spokesman Josh Earnest says the situation's being examined.
The president has called for the kind of investigations that will yield a full accounting of what transpired.
In testimony to the Senate Armed Services Committee yesterday, General John Campbell offered few details about the attack. The success of Microsoft's fall lineup of devices will ride on the company's ability to convince people who got free Windows 10 software upgrades this summer to spring for new devices, specifically Windows devices. Microsoft has unveiled a new laptop, a tablet, 3 phones, and a fitness tracker meant to keep people tied to its array of online services. Many of the products have impressive hardware features, but they face heavy competition from Apple and Android products. And thousands of people joined Yoko Ono in New York's Central Park to try to set a world record for largest group of human bodies forming a peace sign, but the attempt failed since fewer than 5,000 showed up. But the crowd still celebrated the upcoming birthday of John Lennon, who would have been 75 on Friday.
Wow. She has no pull, I guess, huh?
She couldn't get him out there. But it was still impressive to see.
Couldn't get the thousands needed. All right.
It looked pretty cool from the air.
Thank you, Jen. 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. You've heard about the Volkswagen scandal focused on emissions, but for most of us, miles per gallon is the more troubling measurement. Here's MarketWatch reporter Charles Pazzi. Charles, what have you found?
The reality is that the sticker doesn't often match up to what we actually experience. In fact, Consumer Reports has looked at this issue continually, and what they find is that in 10% of instances with cars, non-hybrid vehicles, there is a 10% discrepancy. I mean, 10% may not sound like a lot, but you know, it really does add up. Even in this era of low gas prices, you know, 10% differential is a lot. With hybrids, they have found that 55% of hybrid vehicles have this 10% discrepancy. So, I mean, we're talking a lot of cars on the road that really are not matching up to what people are being told they should expect mileage-wise.
Wow. They just can't account for all the different factors that contribute to gas mileage, correct?
Yeah, I mean, the basic problem is the way that mileage is measured. First of all, the way it works is the EPA sort of sets a sort of a testing guideline. The EPA doesn't actually do the testing. The manufacturers do the testing, but the EPA tells them kind of how they do it. And the problem is that there are just so many variables. You know, roads are different. Road surfaces are different. The way each driver handles a car is different. The EPA would say they try to account for these different variables, but the problem is there are just so many variables, and it's very hard to get it right.
We're speaking with MarketWatch reporter Charles Pazzi. His piece is entitled "Why Your Car Gets Different Gas Mileage Than It's Supposed To." So explain the different factors, right, that could impact somebody's driving. They could be a lead foot, could be raining.
You've hit on a couple of them. Road surfaces are different throughout the country. I mean, you know, you could have something where, you know, what the gravel the road is made from. I mean, that can be different. The lead foot, though, is a very good example. A driver who is constantly rushing, you know, somebody who's you know, one of those people who's always running late to work and is just constantly hitting the gas is going to get worse gas mileage. And now, theoretically, that driver is going to be factored in into the median range of it. But, you know, the truth of the matter is that, you know, somebody who is consistently bad is just going to be off the chart and will never get what, you know, is kind of in that EPA sweet spot or whatever. So, yeah, a lead foot is a perfect example of that. Look, I drive a Honda Odyssey. I have never gotten even, you know, my average gas mileage never even hits the low figure for what the EPA says I should get. I think the range is something like 20 to 28. It's a 10-year-old vehicle. I have never even gotten the 20 mile per gallon figure they say I should get. I average about 18, 19 miles per gallon. So, I mean, that's how bad it used to be. Now they're factoring in things like heating and air conditioning much better. So now apparently people are, even on my vehicle, are getting much more accurate readings and the things are like that. But yeah, if you like to keep your car extra hot or extra cold, that's going to throw things off as well.
Thanks, Charles. MarketWatch reporter Charles Pazzi. I'm a windows down, sunroof open guy. That doesn't help gas mileage either. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Getting your mailing and shipping done can seem like a no-win situation. First, going to the post office takes up valuable time, and leasing a postage meter is expensive with multi-year commitments and hidden fees. Luckily, there's a better way. Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package right from your desk using your own computer and printer. Even get special postage discounts you can't find at the post office. Plus, Stamps.com is more powerful than a postage meter at just a fraction of the cost. You can save at least 50% compared to a postage meter, and you'll avoid those time-consuming trips to the post office. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com. Enter Deal.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Hey, glad you're with us. It's Wednesday, October 7. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Flooding concerns. Relocate in South Carolina. The UAW could go on strike against Fiat Chrysler if there's no labor deal by tonight. Bud Light and Miller Lite could merge. New app called Open the Books tracks government spending. Former Senator Tom Coburn is behind it. AL wildcard game, Astros over the Yanks. Tonight, Cubs and Pirates in the NL wildcard. Hockey season opens this eve, even if it doesn't feel like it. It'll be 63 degrees when the Blackhawks unfurl their championship banner. And the new predictor about success in your love life. That story in about 20 minutes. The standard practice in Congress has long been to pass a highway bill lasting 6 years to provide the kind of funding stream that states and cities need to plan and execute serious transportation projects. Today, that has proven impossible, and the U.S. is falling further behind the rest of the world. More on the problem from Wall Street Journal Washington Bureau Chief Jerry Seib. Jerry, what's up here?
Well, first of all, you have to understand the main thing that Congress does to help improve the nation's infrastructure, not the only thing, but the main thing or the first thing it needs to do is pass a highway bill, a bill to basically pay for roads, bridges, and to some extent waterways and port improvements as well. And in a normal time, what Congress used to do was pass a six-year transportation bill that guaranteed funding over a long period of time for big projects that obviously take a long time to complete so that people in states and localities can get some federal money and get started on making investments in long-term infrastructure. Well, it has been, since 2009, there has been no long-term highway bill. Instead, what Congress has done 34 times is pass a temporary bill since 2009, just for a few more months to just keep money flowing to fill potholes and that sort of thing, which, you know, is better than nothing, but it's not a way that you can plan serious infrastructure improvements. And here we are again. The last time this happened was in July. Congress passed a three-month extension of the highway bill. That money runs out at the end of October. There's no plan yet in place to extend it, much less to have a long-term highway bill. Maybe it'll happen, but this is kind of symptomatic of, I think, neglect of infrastructure needs around the country that's got a lot of people, including business people, worried.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal Washington Bureau Chief Jerry Seib about the dithering in Congress over the lack of a highway funding bill. All right, so why the dithering, as the headline says? Is this all about money or the length of a commitment?
Both. It's mostly about the money. How do you pay for this? You know, the basic way of financing a highway bill is through the federal gas tax, which has been in place for a long, long time. It turns out it's not really sufficient anymore, both because the needs are greater as the infrastructure gets older, and as it turns out, while it's a good thing that we have more fuel-efficient cars on the road, it's a bad thing for the federal gas tax because people buy fewer gallons of gas to travel the same amount of miles, and so therefore tax receipts are down. So the needs are up and the money's down, and the debate is over how do you fill the gap, or do you fill the gap? And because Republicans and Democrats can't agree on how to pay for just about anything these days, they haven't agreed on how to do this, so therefore that's the rub. That's where things are stuck. The good news is there's at least an effort underway to discuss a bipartisan way to come up with a big fix here, to have a kind of a corporate tax reform that actually generates some additional money in the short term and use those proceeds to pay for a big six-year highway bill to get this back on track. But those talks have been going on. They haven't been successful yet, and we're obviously only a few weeks away from having to find something to fill the gap. So not at all clear Congress will go over the hump this time either.
You know, you pointed out, too, the trickle-down, right? You want to build these giant ports with deep seas to accommodate these enormous ships. Well, you got to have the train tracks and the roads in place to accommodate the stuff coming off those ships.
Right. And if you talk to people who are, you know, experts in this business of figuring out how to move freight and transport things through by sea, they will tell you that the infrastructure, the road and railway network at the port into the country is as important as the quality of the port itself.
Thanks, Jerry. Wall Street Journal, Washington Bureau Chief Jerry Seib. 21 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Do you want to learn how to mask your identity to browse inappropriate websites and stream media while at the office?
Well, we can't help you with that. But among the many IT problems we solve, Barracuda's web security solutions keep online activity clean and ensure internet bandwidth performance. Reclaim your network, like 150,000 other businesses already have. To learn more about preventing web-based threats, visit barracuda.com/web.
Thanks for being with us. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, if you're one of the few people who thinks that we just don't have enough Donald Trump in our lives these days and love the sound of his voice almost as much as he does, you're in luck. First, there was the Donald insult generator that we had some fun with on the show. And now there's Say It With Trump, a fun soundboard of Trumpisms using the program Clash.me that works by having you type in a message of your choosing for Mr. Trump to say to you. For example,
I love the deal. It's the best.
Some high praise from Mr. Trump, who thinks that deal is the best. Mm. One other interesting thing about the soundboard is that if there's a word that they don't have Trump saying in their archives, the program will pull it from elsewhere or generate it on its own. For example,
better,
Gordon,
get well
soon.
So that was Mr. Jeez. Trump noticing you sound a bit under the weather today, and he's hoping you get well soon with some help from the band One Republic and even Elaine Benes from Seinfeld.
Is that how it was?
Yeah. And the cool thing is, too, if you don't like that particular version, you can go through and pick other versions.
Is that
so
right?
So if you didn't like the Elaine Benes version of her saying soon, you could pick a different one.
Wow.
Yeah, so, and so they have like a bunch of different options. And even the Trump ones, too. There are different options for the different Trump versions of the words. You can make it sound maybe a little more cohesive if you wanted to.
That's a digital editing wonder there.
Yeah, yeah. That's
wow. kind of,
you could have a lot of
work.
Fun with that one. Yes, for sure. And what do you do, Gordon, when you've had a few too many on a Sunday night and really want some mac and cheese with bacon and jalapenos? Well, you don't do what University of Connecticut student did, or a University of Connecticut student did, who now faces criminal charges and years of embarrassment after confronting a campus food court manager, getting arrested, and having it all caught on tape. In the 9-minute video, which has been circling social media, 19-year-old Luke Gotti argues with and eventually shoves the manager after first questioning why he's not allowed to bring beer into the building, then arguing with him exhaustively about the mac and cheese. After the shove, Gotti's tackled by another employee, is arrested by a police officer, and spits at the manager before being led out of the building. Now, this isn't Gotti's first time on the legal merry-go-round.
Really?
Even for a 19-year-old.
Shocker!
According to local news reports, Gordon, he was previously a student at the University of Massachusetts and was twice arrested last year on disorderly conduct charges.
Yeah. See, I'm not a betting man, but I'm pretty sure alcohol was involved in those things as well.
Most definitely. And you know what? I felt for about half a second, I felt a little bit bad for this guy, only because I feel bad for just about anybody who becomes the subject of a social media firestorm like this, you know, because obviously he didn't kill anybody. This wasn't necessarily the end of the world. You know, you'd hope that he could sort of turn things around. Now he's going to be embarrassed for years and years. But then I read further down and realized that this happened twice before, and he's only 19 years old. There's obviously a big problem.
So now you know there's probably an alcohol problem.
Yes,
which does change the scope of things. Yes, and here's the larger lesson too, right? For parents with kids off to college.
Yeah.
Guess what? Guess what happens now? Assuming he eventually graduates and is applying for a job, and they, you know, the hiring manager types in the name Luke Gotti.
I know.
Guess what comes up? This video.
There's no getting away with anything these days.
I mean, show this to your teenage kids, right? It's called Drunk Kid Wants Mac and Cheese.
Yeah, this is a life changer.
Here's what not to do in college. Thank you, Mike. 14 minutes now in front of the hour. Time now for a travel update, and it's brought to you by La Quinta. La Quinta Inns and Suites takes care of everything so you can take care of business. Book now at LQ.com or call 1-800-SLEEP-LQ. There's a new study out about the most gridlocked cities in America. The findings are from Waze, the community-based traffic app in which drivers report traffic conditions. A score of 10 means great, while a score of 1 means miserable. In the traffic category, with a score of 4.7, San Francisco and New York tied as the cities with the worst traffic. Los Angeles isn't far behind with a score of 4.8. Miami rounds out the worst category with a 4.9. On the other end of the spectrum, there are a few cities where traffic just isn't that bad. Greensboro, North Carolina led the way with a score of 8.6, followed by Grand Rapids, Michigan, and Dayton, Ohio. It's 8 minutes now before the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, the top U.S. commander in Afghanistan is promising a full and transparent investigation into a U.S. airstrike on a clinic in Afghanistan that killed at least 22 people on Saturday. General John Campbell told lawmakers that he's ordered a review of policy when air power can be used.
To be clear, the decision to provide aerial fires was a U.S. decision made within the U.S. chain of command.
The facility was operated by Doctors Without Borders. Thousands of federal inmates serving sentences for drug crimes are set for early release under a cost-cutting measure intended to reduce the nation's prison population. The 6,000 inmates set to go free in November are among the first of what could eventually be tens of thousands eligible for release. The changes in punishment are part of a national bipartisan effort to rethink decades-long sentences for drug offenders who make up roughly half of the federal prison population. A search continues by air and sea for signs of anyone who may have survived the sinking of El Faro, the 790-foot container ship that went down in the Bahamas during Hurricane Joaquin last week. Meanwhile, the National Transportation Safety Board is investigating the disaster. The deadly shooting last week at an Oregon community college has an eerie parallel with the massacre at Sandy Hook Elementary School that killed 20 pupils and 6 staff members in 2012. Like Adam Lanza, the gunman in the Connecticut massacre, Christopher Senator Harper Mercer was living a mostly solitary life with a mother who shared his fascination with firearms. FBI experts say such combinations of dangerous behavior and ready access to weapons can lead to volatile outcomes. If you're heading out of town for the holidays, you better book now. Whether you're taking to the skies for Thanksgiving, Christmas, or New Year's, this is the week to purchase your airfare. Orbit says this early week in October is when prices dip the most before they head back up as we get closer to the holidays.
All right. I did it. I didn't do it this week, but I've done it.
Your airfare?
Yeah. I got a Disney trip in Thanksgiving.
Can I go?
A mini one because it's a soccer tournament.
Oh,
so
how fun.
Yeah, it should be.
All right.
I'll be thinking of you.
Yeah, right.
I'll bring you back ears. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
You always want to look great, but don't have the time or the patience to go shopping. With Trunk Club, you never have to set foot in the mall again. Trunk Club takes the hassle out of shopping by shipping you a trunk of clothes that fit perfectly and make you look like $1 million with all the new fall styles. At trunkclub.com/morning, all you have to do is answer simple questions about your style, preferences, and size, and then you are assigned an expert stylist. They curate clothes from the best premium brands, and you approve what you like. Just like that, a trunk arrives on your doorstep filled with hand-picked clothes that are perfect for you. Try them on, keep what you like, and easily return what you don't in their prepaid trunk. This is not a subscription service. You only pay for the clothes you keep. No hidden charges, just great clothes. And right now, their entire styling service is free. Even the shipping. You only pay for the clothes you keep. To take advantage, go to trunkclub.com/morning. One more time, that's trunkclub.com/morning for a trunk filled with clothes you'll love wearing.
Thanks for being with us. When people are looking for a significant other, they often try to find someone whose values, education, earnings, hobbies, even height match their own. But new research suggests there's one promising measure for finding a committed partner that most daters overlook. Credit scores. I kid you not. The Washington Post breaks down Federal Reserve data that looks at what role credit scores play in committed relationships and suggests that daters, not just lenders, might want to start using the metric as well. The researchers found that credit scores actually play a pretty big role in whether people form and stay in committed relationships. People with higher credit scores are more likely to form committed relationships and marriages and then stay in them. In addition, how well matched the couple's credit scores are initially is a good predictor of whether they stay together in the long term. So for you hormone-crazy young adults, remember this. If you can't talk about it without giggling, it's too soon in the relationship for, credit scores. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
In 2001, Vonage revolutionized home phone service, making it better. After such a colossal breakthrough, who would have objected if Vonage said, "Enjoy better, world. Vonage will be at the spa." But today, Vonage is not at the spa having its trouble area worked on, but transforming communications for your business with award-winning cloud-based solutions. See how your business can get the better it deserves. Call 1-800-5-VONAGE or go to Vonage.com. Vonage, the business of better.